3 ministries going on. There's actually 4. Appreciate everybody. If you can move over here, and it's good to see you. And we have our vacation family back home. Brother Josh, Sister Tiffany, and these gorgeous kids. I think they were up in the mountains and a little bit. Oh, praise the Lord. One of my cheerleaders. Man. All right. And it was good to see Adrian and Irma slip in and be with us. This might be their first Wednesday night service. I think it is. Very excited about that. Michelle, good to see you. Michelle, let's see. We've got a couple of them in the house. Praise God. Got some church humor for our redemption, for our redemptive purposes. Okay, this is stuff I've never used before. Let's see if you like it real quick before we pick up. And I believe it's something like part 4, manifestation blockers. Okay, so here's some humor. Relationships are a lot like algebra. Have you ever looked at your ex and wondered why? Okay, just a thought. My girlfriend told me she was leaving me because I keep pretending to be a transformer. I said, no, wait, I can change. See me after the altar call if you didn't get that one. Today a man knocked on my door and he asked for a small donation towards the local swimming pool. I gave him a glass of water. I think my neighbor is stalking me. She's been Googling my name on her computer. I know because I saw it through my telescope last night. How about this? Life is all about perspective. The sinking of the Titanic was a miracle to the lobsters in the ship's kitchen. Come on, it's perspective. They were probably worshiping the Lord for it. The first computer, this is my last one, dates back to Adam and Eve. It was an apple with limited memory, just one byte. And then everything crashed. Okay, so anyway, see, if you look for it, it's in there. Okay, let's have a quick review. If you have some notes, you might want to pull them up because I might call on you to answer. But I probably won't. Just look at me like intense, and I probably won't call on you. Thank you, Amber. Okay, we're talking about the fact that God loves to manifest. Just like what we had tonight. We sang at least two songs and maybe that second one third time. So anyway, we had major worship and the Holy Ghost showed up. I like it when the Holy Ghost shows up. And he loves to manifest himself. He really does. So there are some what we call manifestation blockers, okay? Like certain things that can sort of impede or block or hinder or cripple the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to give you a chance to tell me maybe, first of all, what the first one was. That was number 2. And if Jess was sitting here, Sister Amber, those are number 3. That's number 3. Hey, good. You're. That's okay. They all count if you don't have the right number on them. Brother Tim hit one of the big ones. You hit a big one. The first one was disobedience. The second one, Tim hit it. What do we mean by unjudged sin, Brother Tim? What do we mean by that, unjudged sin? Okay, something that you haven't come and dealt with it. Right. Just don't. Why did we have little Lexi, I thought, really was a star performer the night we had her up here? She was a star performer. Why was I asking her about a snowman? And finally, after, because, you know, Scott has 2 or 3 computers, and he finally found the picture I sent him of the snowman and threw it up there because he had a number of computers that night, first time. Why was I asking Lexi about the snowman? Because you build a snowman by taking something small and rolling it down the hill, and it's like sin. Sin is a gathering nucleus. Okay? For instance, you can start out lying to your spouse and end up lying to your boss, lying to the IRS, lying to the people that are sharing their space with you behind some very strong steel curtains. But it started somewhere, and it built up and built up, and pretty soon there's not much honest about us, because sin is a gathering nucleus. It starts small. It starts like a lizard, and next month it's a Tyrannosaurus rex with its teeth around your leg, and you're wondering where it came from. It started as that little lizard in your aquarium. Okay, so judging, you know, if there's something that breaks down, if there's something that goes sideways, don't let that build up. Don't go several days with being out of sorts with God, because it's easy. I have this little quote in here, and it's true. Food sticks easier to a pan that's been burned before. Get that washed off. Get the blood of Jesus on it. Get up and get going. Don't stay down. Don't invite the enemy to play with you, because you've lost your power like Samson of old. And then who said number three? Was it Amber? Reckless words. Okay, Sister Amber, your time to shine. What do we mean by reckless words? Can you give me an example that we may have referred to in the Bible? Or there might be just something from real life. All right. We use our words to tie into God's promises. We took some scripture, all right, from Matthew, and I just want to give you the one verse from the Amplified Classic, Sister Vicki. Okay, from Matthew 12:36. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, that men will have to give account for every idol. Now, the King James says idol, but the Greek word there means inoperative or non-working. We have to give account for every word that didn't work for us. What does that mean? I believe that we can literally, some of us don't understand faith because we don't know how it operates. I believe the Word of God shows us how it operates. And one of the ways is with what we say. Many of us dig a hole and we think we're going to be holier by digging the hole. Nobody got holier digging holes. When in a hole, stop digging. We dig the hole with our mouth, not with a fork. Well, sometimes with a fork. Sometimes with a shovel. But you can also dig a spiritual hole with your mouth. My old pastor, one of my old pastors, great man of God. He's gone on to his reward. One of the neatest people I've ever been around. He said that years ago when he was in school, they decided to play a prank on this kid. And so they decided every time they saw him, they were going to tell him how bad he looked. And actually, he was really doing well that day. Man, are you doing okay? I don't know what his first name was, but they called him by name. Are you sure you're doing all right? You're looking a little green around the gills. And several people said that to him, sprinkled through. He checked out of school and went home sick. True story. He checked out of school and went home sick. The power of our words, we start to, you know, believe what somebody's saying. If it's negative, get your words to work for you. How about Romans 10 verse 8 from the King James? Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But what saith it? The word is close. The word is nigh you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Brother Cunningham told a story to us. He preached. I've heard Mike Williams preach on this concept. I've heard Jack Cunningham preach on this concept. But I believed the concept before I ever heard them preach. But it's interesting to hear solid, good, apostolic men teach and preach on this concept. They were in a snowstorm, and it kept snowing. He was riding in the car with Billy Cole, his uncle. And it just kept snowing and snowing. I think they had a service that night. Billy Cole was a unique man, powerful anointing. But he had, I would call it a short fuse when it came to tolerating the enemy. Sometimes he had that short fuse with people. But that's okay. Everybody's got something they've got to work on. I got a whole bunch of somethings. You might have just a half of something. Okay. But anyway, he looked at the snow and he rebuked it. and commanded it to stop. And it had been snowing like a crazy man for hours. Boom! Within seconds, Brother Cunningham said, the snow stopped totally. When Brother Cole barked at it in faith and commanded it to stop. Woo, praise God. I like stuff like that. I like stuff that works. Reckless words. There are times when I hear somebody say something, I just try to, careful. You can, words spoken in faith can, like even if it's a negative faith, can produce substance. He said, let there be. And every time he said, let there be, in Genesis 1, something came into existence. And then he says in John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go into the Father. John 14:12. So when we speak and we speak in faith, even sometimes when we speak in frustration, we can create worlds of distress because we're using our faith in the wrong direction. I will never forget we were on the evangelistic trail. That is not an easy road. That might be one of the hardest things that we ever did in our life, but it was so much fun. Tinley, that's okay. I'm just preaching. Your brothers helped me Sunday, so you can help me on Wednesday night, okay? Do you know what a suburban is? A big old, anybody know what a suburban is? 454 cubic inches in the engine. It gargled gas. And we blew, Brother Mike, come here, Brother Mike, help me with, because you're a mechanic. I want to say this right. A cylinder or a piston collapsed. Am I saying it right?
So it runs on seven cylinders.
Yes. Exactly. Collapsed. And you're not supposed to drive it till you get that one that collapsed fixed. Am I saying it right?
A little bit correct.
Oh, okay. If you're in the, you know, hills with the ladies with the one hairpin.
Right.
You know, okay. Few missing teeth. Okay. So We it's right, Beloit, Wisconsin, Emmett Caskey, who was of German extract. We you know, offerings, we got it priced out. $500 to fix it, at least. That's just to fix the Suburban. That's not the offering to survive. That's the part to take care of the truck or the Suburban. We got to claiming financial blessing. You ever done that? But it wasn't because it was a nice, sweet little thing to do. It was a necessity. We're out there. I don't even think we had credit cards, did we? We didn't even have credit cards. You believe that? That we were I think about it now. Josh, I laugh. What were we doing out there with no credit card? I don't know. We're just dumb, I guess. Just love God, but we were extremely stupid, you know, or something. I don't know because, you know, it's most of you wouldn't make it a day without your credit card. That's okay. So we're in the church building. And this is what we said to God. God, we are claiming 500. See, we try to take our words instead of walking and go, oh my God, what has happened to us? Our ministry is going down the drain. We don't know where we're going. Instead of talking like that, we walked that beautiful sanctuary and we said, Lord, thank you. We praise you for $500 plus. The plus was the 500 would heal the Suburban, but the plus was what we were going to live on. And that was the day when you didn't get offerings like that. Matter of fact, I remember getting offerings like $75 and a shirt. I remember one of my first revivals where they put all the quarters and pennies and nickels and dimes in those little brown envelopes, and each night they gave you, that was your offering for that night. All right, baby, $8.32. Reminds me of John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we were having the time of our life. Truly, I say unto thee, from King James. So we would go over to the church, and we'd walk the aisles. Thank you, Lord, for 500 plus. In Jesus' name. I don't know how that that's going to happen because we've never had an offering like that. But Lord, those were the days when offerings were about one-fifth or one-half or one-third of that, and which was, you know, a good offering in those days, right? So we thought, God, you got to help us because we've got to get this Suburban fixed and we also have to pay some bills. So our expenses and on down the road to the next place. When that wonderful pastor delivered that offering to us, I said, let me take a picture of that. Largest offering we had ever received. It was twice the $500. But that's not the end of it. Because we had claimed the blessing of God. People were giving, I mean, they were knocking on our trailer door and giving us their piggy banks. Seriously. Socks. A new briefcase. What I'm trying to say, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. Right? God put a giving anointing on that church. And we walked in faith and claimed the blessing of God. We didn't have any other backup plans. But watch this, it even gets better. I've never seen anything like that. It spilled over into the next week. So we cut loose and we used our faith again the next week. We got the second largest offering we'd ever received in our ministry when we, with our mouths, claimed instead of grumbled, instead of called somebody for financial support. There was nobody to call. We had no cell phones in those days. No iPads. No laptops. This was back before the flood. But we saw. Thank you for that support. We saw. Look at this, Joshua 1 verse 8. We saw what God will do for us. See, there's going to come a day when you run out of finance. Well, what do you do? See, you've got a launching pad right here. Instead of complaining, we don't have any. I hear a giggle. I got to be careful. What you'll do is you'll rehearse the circumstances instead of rehearse the word. You'll be like a reporter from the false, fake media, you know, reporting on facts that aren't facts. The president had 75 million votes. He didn't win the election. Figure that one out. He did win the election. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. But me and about 75 million people know that he did. Okay, I'm just saying. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Out of your mouth. This book. These promises shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. In the 1189 chapters of the Bible, that's the only place in your King James Bible where the word success appears. It's in that verse. And it's connected to your words. Isn't that powerful? So, listen to this. This is a true story. There's a story told about Thomas Edison when he was young. He came home one day with a paper for his mom. He told her, my teacher told me to give this paper only to my mother. Thomas's mother read the note, right? Thomas Edison's mom read the note, and her eyes filled with tears. So he asked her, well, what did the note say, Mom? She read this. Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers for training him. Please teach him yourself. And that is exactly what his mom did. She homeschooled her child with devotion and dedication. Many years later, after Edison's mother passed on and he had become one of the world's greatest inventors, Edison found a folded paper among other family items. He opened the paper that had once been handed to him to give only to his mother, but he read the following message. What was really written on that note said, "Your son is mentally ill. We won't let him come to school anymore." And she refused to say those words to him. And the man grew up to become one of the greatest inventors that's ever lived in any country, any time. And the lights here prove it. Isn't that powerful? She would not read that to him. Okay, so Outpour Weekend. God loves to manifest his power. You don't have to bend his arm. You don't have to tap into his reluctance. He has none except if we're grieving him. It's very easy to do that. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But listen to this. You've not heard an Outpour Weekend report, so here is part of one. Ready? On that weekend, just a few weeks ago, called Outpour Weekend, right? Anybody remember who we had here preaching? Wow. Anybody remember what happened? Well, Dustin got the Holy Ghost, for one thing. Oh, and then Sister Irma, presence of God. I put that in the report, Irma. And God touched you, didn't he? He literally touched Irma. Physically touched her to the point where it was part of her testimony. She wanted to share that. Listen to this. At least 275 people got the Holy Ghost in Ohio that weekend. Does God love to manifest himself? Manifest. Make clear. What's on the ship? Read the manifest. That will tell you what the cargo is. Okay, that's not the only thing. Listen to this. Pastor Kevin Brown baptized a lady who had stage 4 lung cancer. She came to church in a wheelchair. And after being baptized in Jesus' name, she began to run around the church. Now, I sort of wonder what that did for him. And if that wasn't enough, she later pushed her wheelchair to her car to go home for the frosting on that cake. Aaron Bounds had a young lady with Bell's palsy receive the Holy Ghost. As she spoke in tongues, she was instantly healed of Bell's palsy. Come on, lift your hands. Let's give God thanks. He loves to manifest himself. He loves to manifest himself. Pastor Ken Dillingham reports a man was instantly healed of a broken collarbone during the service. He removed his brace and was pain-free. Does God love to manifest himself? Show himself strong? Pastor James Henderson reports an individual was healed of very painful TMJ during the Sunday service. This isn't even a complete report. This is just a partial report on what happened a weekend just a few weeks ago called Outpouring Sunday. Praise God. So I want to give you another blocker. Number one, we've got disobedience. Number two, we've got unjudged sin. Number three, we've got reckless words. And number four, we have, in a non-starring role, weak worship. I don't know if you've read much about Bill Johnson's family out of Bethel, Redding, California. Very special man. He's trying to walk in what he knows. He knows a few things. And his son, of course, is behind the amazing worship ministry and songs that many of us sing have come from different places, but that's one of the directions they've come from. But what I didn't know is, and I picked up a book, and I don't buy a lot of books these days because if you saw my library, you wouldn't need me to explain. Anyway, he tells of how he fell into a darkness and a blackness and a depression in his life. For it lasted for some time, and he didn't know how to get out of it. It was a chain. It was a spiritual incarceration. It was so deep and dark. It's the mercy of God that he didn't throw his life away. But he'd go to his father, and his father's a prayer warrior. His father has a lot of faith, a lot of healing flows through Bill Johnson. Very, very humble man. Very, listen to him on YouTube teach. Very humble man. Full of the Holy Ghost. And his dad would pray for him and quote scriptures over him. And all of that helped. Did I tell you what manifestation blocker number four is? Okay. So, but he said it was when my dad started worshiping and would worship that this thing lifted off of me. It tried to come back on him. And he'd go through this again. His dad would pray over him and rebuke the enemy and plead the blood and quote the promises. But when his dad started worshiping and would get him to worship, this darkness, this pervading, anybody know what I'm talking about? I feel in the Holy Ghost somebody can identify with this. This thing that clung to him like glue. He couldn't shake it. He couldn't get out of it. But when his daddy led him in personal worship, this blackness would lift off of him. I'm talking about worship that is warfare. Come on now, lift your hands. We're going to close here in a few moments. We're going to soften the lights. But I want to give you just a thought here that if we give God just tepid, just lukewarm worship, we're not tapping into the power of God. Here is a young man that leads a revolution in worship because it was worship that delivered him. Woo! Praise God. He's one of the key worship leaders. I don't know how many songs that he's personally penned. I don't know all of that story. I do know this, that he's led a worship revival out of Bethel. And it's from a young man who is a preacher's son who lived under a depression. It is not the will of God for you or me to live under depression. But if you and I would worship, and I mean really worship and make it a lifestyle, our worship can become warfare. And it can release a lot of power and Shekinah and grace in the air, in the room that we need. Listen to this from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments. Praise God. You can pray. Lift your hand with me in closing, if you would, this evening. Love you. God loves you. He's with you. Amen. He underwrites your life. He is your support system. Yes, indeed. His family, your brothers and sisters, the family of God. But oh, you attract victory. We attract the victory of God when we worship. We attract the very concentrated presence of the Lord when we practice worship, real worship, deep worship, prolonged worship, anointed worship, unctionized worship. When we do that, the enemy cannot stay. It drives him crazy. Hallelujah. You can come into deliverance. Stuff that's been trailing you. Sometimes, I know there's an author lady, a lady apostolic writer that talks about, years ago, I remember her saying a little bit about this, trailing spirits. Spirits that track people, that trail. Because you walk into a unclean bookstore and an unclean spirit trails you out of there. And just because you got off the premises, but you opened the door to temptation, and something stalks you because you opened the door. I know of a preacher man that went to a seance, not because he believed in it, but because he was curious. And when he was out of there, he wasn't trying to practice that. He was just curious about the reality of it. But he got out of his car one day to go in to see somebody in the hospital. When he came to the door of the hospital, the spirit of fear came on him. And he could not go through that door. And he didn't understand it. What's wrong with me? And he prayed and sought God about it later. And the Lord showed him, when you went into that seance, you opened the door to a trailing spirit. You opened the door to an unclean spirit. And it has tracked you. I'm not trying to be goofy or mystical. But at times, years ago, I begged God, what is it that's messing with your people at times? I know you can't be demon-possessed and have the Holy Ghost. We all believe that. But you can have harassing spirits that come to just like mess your thinking up, mess your focus up, bring you under depression. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Listen to this. We know Acts 2:38. How about 10:38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sometimes we can be healed. We can break the grip of an unclean spirit of infirmity. Lift your hands with me. I'm going to pray a special prayer. Just agree with me. God loves you. I break by the authority of the Holy Ghost. I break any grip. I break unclean spirits off of it. I break any curses. I bind any activity that's not of the Holy Ghost. I bind spirits in Jesus' name that sometimes harass God's people. I take dominion over them in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you for the power of worship. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him unmitigated, undiluted worship and praise. You'll feel better walking out of this building, and darkness will have to flee because you've learned the power of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord.